This morning is taken from 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, if you'd like to take your Bible and follow along. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Then Solomon said, "The Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to dwell forever." Wherever possible, let's kneel for prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you again just for the opportunity to come to you in this place, to listen to your words, to think of your love, to be drawn closer to you. Dear Father, we do this morning especially want to lift Urides up to you this morning as he brings us your word. May the words that he speaks sink deep into our hearts and our minds. May they be a change in our life to draw us closer to you. Dear Father, we think of the members that are not here this morning, whether they are at Gladstone or at Redwood Camp meetings. May they also gain a blessing from being with other believers and studying your word and hearing from you. Dear Father, this morning, continue to bless and guide us. Help us to see your will in everything and to know that your hand is with us and is guiding us. For we pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. So nice to be back. As some of you know, I was gone to my country for a couple of weeks. So I may or may not speak Spanglish this morning. You have to see me. When I got there, I tried to speak Spanish, but something is happening in my brain. And all of a sudden, I would say, yes. And I'm like, oh, I'm speaking Spanish. Sí. Or I would say, thank you. Oh, I forgot. Gracias. Or I was talking and I was mentioning the word God, and the word God would come out just like that. God. And I was like, my brain is, you know, switching between two languages. It's not easy. They're like, you're spending too much time talking English. You know, you need to practice with us. Yeah, I need to practice my Spanish more. Although I don't think I can perfectly speak English, but yeah, there's something weird. So, transitioning between two languages. For those who are not familiar with the word, Spanglish refers to when you mix a word, English and Spanish, or a sentence. But it's more often used when you mix a word, which my wife and I always laugh because we come up with such good words that they could be written in a dictionary, but you know. I went on a vacation, I already told you. It was awesome. You can see. Okay. So I brought a couple of pictures I want to show. I went camping for 8 days to this beautiful beach in the Dominican Republic. It's called Playa Rincon. Although lately, there's a lot of seaweed dying in the Caribbean, and sometimes will be beautiful, and some other days will be bad, but it was mostly okay for this time. We spent 8 days. It's a church trip. They take a whole week where they go to the beach. They camp there, and they have their services, and everybody's just enjoying nature, and basically, it's like a paradise. It's just beautiful, so I enjoy swimming. The thing is, with those seaweeds, I get really scared because I think they're sharks. So every time they scratch me or touch me, I'm like, I need to get out of here. But I really want to be swimming because it's so beautiful. There's also a river that is even prettier. It's just like crystal clear water, white sand. It looks like shallow, but it might be at least 3 meters deep, like really completely deep. So it's really nice, and it's cold water. When I'm talking about cold water, I'm talking about water that you are in it 5 minutes and you're freezing already, like your fingers, you can feel your fingers freezing. But the highlight of my trip wasn't camping on the beach. For me, was to go visit my family. I got to go back and see my grandma. If you heard my testimony, you know my grandma is the one who took me to church when I was 8 years old. And that's how I met Jesus and I decided to get baptized, being a child. I also got to see my aunt, the one who took me to the orphanage. I was living with her. And this is my second picture with my mom and dad, which is such a nice achievement for me to have a picture with them. So I got to see them. I got to spend time with them. My mom lives in Santiago, which is a city in the center of the island, and she traveled with me to visit my grandma, my dad, and my aunt. They live together. I pray with my grandma. She's sick, so prayers are welcome if you want to have her in your prayers. My family is doing well. My aunt wasn't going to church, but she got baptized 2 years ago, and she's a strong believer again. So praise the Lord for that. I'm really happy she's back going to church. My grandma cannot go to church as much, but she still remains in the faith, as we could say. And we need to pray for my dad because he doesn't stop drinking alcohol. So that's his life. My mom wants to get baptized, and she says that she wants me to go back there when I have time so I can baptize her after she had, gone through the faith of Jesus and, you know, have Bible studies and stuff. So we're praying for her, praying for my dad, so they can someday come to Jesus' feet. It was such a nice time, but it's nice to be back now and ready to talk and to preach. Going back to the beach, something happened. Oh. Forward. Okay. So the whole time we were there was windy. Was really windy, day and night, so windy that, you know, we need to keep our hats, you know, all tight because we didn't want to lose them. And it was really cool. Cool breeze all the time. It wasn't hot at all, which was nice because that's our world when it's really hot. We got there Sunday morning until Thursday evening. Everything was wonderful. Thursday night, the wind stopped. And then the heat came. And it was terrible. We couldn't sleep. And it was suffocating. And where is the wind? I need something. And I was talking to my wife. And I was like, I feel like if I can't breathe right now, because I can feel the wind. The leaves were dead. Not wind at all, on the beach. And this is weird. And then Friday night was the same. And finally, on Sabbath, I pray. I said, Lord, I need some wind. I need you to fill this place with a cool breeze. And then the wind came again. That was such a beautiful moment. I felt like if my prayer was answered right away. And this is something I want to bring up to my sermon. The sermon is titled, The Glory of the Lord. And it's based on that story where Solomon inaugurates the temple. And when they're done with the temple, what happened? The glory of the Lord came and filled the place. That's exactly what I feel when I pray and I say, Lord, I need some wind. It's suffocating. It's over 90 degrees at night. I can't breathe. I need something. And then we feel the breeze. That's exactly what we feel when the glory of the Lord comes into our lives. Before we go to our verse today, let's pray. Father, we want to open your Bible, and we want to ask for your presence and your guidance and your direction as we study your world. Please be with us in this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a couple of questions. You can say yes or no. The church is the most holy place. Raise your hand if you believe that's true. Yes. The church is the most holy place. Anybody? If you believe the opposite, raise your hand. Choose a side, people. The church is the most holy place. Raise your hand if you believe that. The church is not the most holy place. Raise your hand if you believe that. Okay. There's no right and wrong answer. I just need you to choose that. That's true. Another question. You can say yes or no. The presence of God is slowly retreating from the churches. Raise your hand if you believe that. Raise your hand if you don't believe that. Hey. Another question. The presence of the Holy Spirit is where we gather to worship. Raise your hand if you believe that. Again, the presence of the Holy Spirit is where we gather to worship God. Raise your hand if you believe that. If you don't believe, let me see. Okay. Let's go to our scripture and see if the church is the most holy place, or if the presence of God is retreating, or if the Holy Spirit is really where we gather to worship Jesus. If we go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. Can someone read it for me from the congregation? Matthew 18, chapter 20. Chapter 18, verse 20. So Jesus said that where two or three are gathered, what happens? He is there. So if we are here this morning, gathered to worship God, gathered to study His Word, gathered to pray, gathered to sing praises, then Jesus is here. Then the Holy Spirit is here. Then God the Father, His presence is here. Let's read this scripture. 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 through 13 says, "Now Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chiefs, fathers of the children of Israel, to King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from the city of David, which is Zion. Therefore, all the men of Israel assembled with King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim," which is what? Which is the seventh month. "So all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. Then they brought up the ark of the Lord, the tabernacle of meeting, and all the holy furnishings that were in the tabernacle. The priests and the Levites brought them up. Also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel who were assembled with him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be counted or numbered for multitude." That's impressive. That was a lot. "Then the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place under the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim spread their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubim overshadowed the ark and its poles. The poles extended so that the ends of the poles could be seen from the holy place in front of the inner sanctuary. But they could not be seen from outside, and they are there to this day. Nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb, when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And it came to pass, when the priests came out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, Then Solomon spoke. The Lord said he will dwell in the dark cloud. I have surely built you an exalted house and a place for you to dwell in forever. So what's really happening in here? What's the context of this passage that we just read? This was, number one, Israel's golden age, where Solomon was in all his glory and the temple was prepared. That was like the biggest thing in Israel, the temple. We know how Israel came out of Egypt and they walked through the desert, and then God said, let them make me a sanctuary so I can be with them. And so they built a sanctuary and they entered the land, the promised land, and they were supposed to keep the sanctuary, but because of their sin, they had to move it. And so the place where the presence of the Lord was supposed to be didn't have a place. And David said, I want to build a temple. To which God said, yes, I'll let you build a temple, but not you. Your son is going to build me a temple. So you just rest, reign over the kingdom, die, and then your son after you will do that. I'm going to give you that blessing, but it's going to be the people after you, not you. And so that's why Solomon now built this temple in all its glory. It was really expensive. If you go and see all the details only of the tabernacle, you'll be amazed. This temple was bigger. It was glorious. People came to see what was made in there. And when King Nebuchadnezzar came, he destroyed everything and took all the golden cups away, and he took everything because they didn't keep the commandments God has asked them to keep. That's basically what happened. So God wanted to be with them. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, he says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. So we see this promise, not a promise, but the fact that God wanted to be with them and the fact that they wanted to make a place where the presence of God was, we can see it here in this chapter. And there's so much that we can learn and that we can study out of it, but let's just focus on the fact that the presence of the Lord, when everything was ready, came and what was there with them. The question is, do you want the presence of the Lord in your life? See. Right when God is talking to Moses and telling them, hey, I want, let's have them make a sanctuary so I can be with them. They were on the other side planning to, making the golden calf. God wants to be with them, but they want to do the opposite. They want to be far away from God, basically. They got tired of waiting for Moses, and they're like, well, you need something. We need something. Moses is not coming back. We need an idol to worship. And then Aaron came and made the golden calf, and Moses is coming down with the tablets, and then that's what he found. Sometimes God wants to come and dwell with us. Sometimes the presence of God wants to be amongst us. But the things we do, our actions, our thoughts, our testimony out there, doesn't allow the glory of God, the presence of God, to come and be with us. And that's exactly what happened to the people of Israel. God wanted a sanctuary. The people of Israel wanted a temple. If you see, the sanctuary was beautiful, but was simple. The temple was just something big, shiny, their glory. They just wanted to imitate the people around them. And that's not what God wanted. So the question is, do we really do what God wants us to do? Are we really walking on the way that God wants us to walk? God wants to be with us. God wants to dwell with us. We have to allow His presence to come into our lives. If we see, if we go to back to verse 1, Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief fathers of the children of Israel. Why did he organize the people in that way? Does anybody have an idea? Why did Solomon organize the people? I'll tell you. He intended for this moment to be the most glorious moment in the kingdom. He wanted to be remembered by this moment. So he said, if you guys think I'm not going to organize you, no, you're wrong. This is the order. I need the priests and the chief of the houses and the families. And then I need all of you to be organized, and I'm going to assign you jobs and tasks that you're going to do because I need this to be organized. And it was impressive that they built the temple and everything and everything they made for that time and the resources they had. So that was impressive. And Solomon wanted to be remembered by that opening ceremony in that moment on the temple. It was something big, big, so big. I am a fan of football. Not football, I mean soccer. Because in Spanish we say football. I'm a fan of soccer, and that's my favorite sport, although I don't play it. I'm a terrible sport person. But that's my favorite sport. And when they prepared, you know, the World Cup, I love watching those games. And you see the FIFA, I don't know how you pronounce that in English, that's the association that prepares the program and the games. They put so much effort. And each 4 years, they choose a different city, and they go prepare the games. And they put so much effort in, you know, having the games organized and everything, because each country then puts on a show and everything, something big, because they want to be remembered by that year and that game, that championship. According to theologians, this event in here where Solomon did the opening ceremony for this temple was 10 times bigger than any opening ceremony that we can see in any Olympic game or soccer game or any football game or halftime show of the Super Bowl, if you like the Super Bowl or whatever. It was big. He put so much effort. And the message is, why don't we seek God? Why don't we put effort into preparing our lives, our families, our churches, so we can receive the glory of the Lord? So we can receive the presence of the Lord. God wants us to put an effort on it. God wants us to, it doesn't matter, you don't have to be rich. It doesn't matter if you're poor. Money is not what matters. What God wants is your heart, your life, to be ready for Him to come and live in you. And so Solomon was preparing this so they can bring everything. At the opening ceremony, the inauguration, they opened the temple, and the Ark of the Covenant was brought and put in the most holy place. And then they also brought, you know, the table for and the candlestick. So they brought everything that was, not everything, but some of the things that were first on the tabernacle were brought in here, because this was officially the place where they would worship God. And then when this happened, the presence of the Lord came to the temple. Now, the presence of the Lord came to the temple, but that was conditional. If you keep my commandments, if you don't turn your faces to idolatry, If you do what I command you, then my presence will remain in here. But what happened with them? They sinned against God openly. And each king and king after king, they were even worse and even worse, until what happened? The whole kingdom was taken away from the people of Israel because they didn't keep the law. And why is the law important? Why is it that I'm mentioning that so much? If you say in one of the verses says that there was nothing, there was nothing, verse 9 says, nothing was in the ark except the two tablets of this, of stone which Moses put there. What's the meaning of these two tablets? What was originally there in the Ark of the Covenant first? Aaron's stick, rod, and then the manna, so the little pot with manna. And that was removed from there. The only thing that remained in the ark, the two tablets with the Ten Commandments. And when the Ark of the Covenant was brought and put into the most holy place, the presence of the Lord came. And I have a quote that I want you to read with me. There was nothing in the ark itself except the two tablets of stone. There is something special about it. By being thus placed within the ark, directly above which God was to meet with his people, the law is indissolubly bound together with God himself. The most sacred place in the temple was the Holy of Holies, and its most sacred item was the ark containing the law of God. As God, by his very nature, is holy and eternal, so likewise is his law. This law under the old covenant was written upon two tablets of stone. Under the new covenant, it is written upon the hearts of the righteous. The law of God is written in our hearts. Before, it was in the ark in the temple, and the presence of God came, and it represented what the presence of the Lord does today in our lives. The law is written in our hearts, and we, therefore, need to prepare this temple, which is our body, so the presence of the Lord can come and shine through us. Why is it important that we get ready? Why was the preparation and the inauguration of this temple important? Because it's a symbol of what the glory of God is doing through us today. So my invitation is that we get ready, because the glory of the Lord is just waiting right there for us to be ready, so it can come into our lives and it can shine through us to save others. And when he says that that the glory filled the temple, it came to pass when the priest came out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. When it mentioned a cloud here, it's not a weird concept. In fact, I have a list of moments in the Bible when the presence of the Lord came and there's a cloud, or just different moments where there's a cloud. This is the cloud that we see here that stood by Israel in the wilderness. If you read Exodus chapter 13, when you see Israel in the desert, that cloud that was there, this is the cloud that came to the temple, the presence of the Lord. Was the cloud God, is the question? No. Was his glory, his presence was there? The same cloud that came here is the cloud of glory that God spoke to Israel from, right there on Mount Sinai. When he was speaking to the people, they were terrified. Same cloud. It's the cloud from which God met with Moses and others when they went to talk to God. There was a cloud covering to protect. This is the cloud that stood by the door of the tabernacle. When the tabernacle was finished, the cloud that came, same cloud. This is the cloud from which God appeared to the high priest in the holy place inside the veil. This is the cloud of Ezekiel's vision, filling the temple of God with the brightness of glory. Think about there if you have read Ezekiel's vision. This is the cloud of glory that overshadowed Mary when she conceived Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. This is the cloud present at the transfiguration of Jesus, Luke chapter 9. This is the cloud of glory that received Jesus into heaven when Jesus was going on his ascension. And this is the cloud that will come with Jesus when he returns to take us up to heaven. The presence of the Lord. Throughout the Bible. From Exodus, Genesis, Exodus, through Revelation. Why aren't we ready to receive the presence of the Lord in our lives? What's preventing the glory of the Lord from really filling our hearts and our lives? What's that? I don't know it. I just want you to look, search in your mind. What is that thing that's stopping the glory of God from shining through you? Let's read Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, and see what he has to say for us. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What were they doing right there? The followers of Jesus were gathered together. And Jesus has promised that where two or three are together, what happened? He's right there to bless them, to be with them. And the followers of Jesus are here like one, putting aside all differences, praying together. If you keep reading, they were breaking the bread together. They were just like one. And then they receive the Holy Spirit. The presence of God. What are we doing as a church to receive the presence of God in our life? What are we doing as a church to receive the presence of God in here? So when we walk out there to the community, they can see, hey, these people, the Seventh-day Adventists, They keep the Ten Commandments. They have the law in their heart, and the presence of the Lord is with them, and it's shining through them now. This is the truth the Bible is speaking. We need to present the love of God. There's something else interesting, too, in this. There's so much that I can't cover. But when the presence of the Lord came, the priest has to stop working, and they have to what? Get out. But the Bible says that God is love. If the presence of the Lord, if God is love, love was there, why did they stop ministering? Why did they stop working on the temple? Why did they have to get out? Because God is holy. And when the priests saw the holiness of God right there in the temple in that moment, they were like, we can't stand it. It's too big. It's too much. We don't want to be killed by the presence of the Lord. So they just stop working, get out, and let the presence of the Lord come. The message is that sometimes we have to yield. And we want to show and be there in the presence of the glory of the Lord. Let's just yield. Let's get out. Let's allow the presence of the Lord to come into our church, to come into our heart, so it can shine through us. If we have the connect cards today, Kevin. You have it right there? Okay. If we go to our cards, I want to invite you this morning to open your hearts first, to pray with your family second, and to pray with your church so we can have the glory of the Lord, the presence of the Lord. And through the presence of the Lord, we can achieve so much in our spiritual life. When we let the Holy Spirit guide us personally, then we're going to be a blessing for our family, for our brothers and sisters here at church. And everywhere we go, the blessing of the Lord will follow us. The glory of the Lord will help us to guide others to Him. Sometimes we just try, and we pray, and we read the Bible, and we don't feel anything. We really have to stop those things that are preventing the glory of God of shining through us, and really let the Holy Spirit do the work in our hearts, in our lives. So you can see, number one, I want the glory of the God, or the Holy Spirit, to fill my heart. Can check. Number two, I want the glory of the Lord to fill my house, my family, my relatives, wherever they may be. And third, I want the glory of the Lord to fill my church so we can be a witness here on earth and we can really let that glory shine through us personally and through our church. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this morning, for your word, and for the message that you have given us. Thank you for your glory that is just waiting to come into our lives, into our hearts. We just pray that we can just be honest with you, O God, and may you forgive our sins, and may you shine through us, that we can just be a witness of you everywhere we go. And may your glory shine through your church, O Lord. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for bringing us here this morning to worship you. And please send your glory to shine through us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.